high five three people, and say, it's great that you're here. Great that you're here. Great that you're here. And I'm actually surprised that I actually came up with lyrics that sort of worked it that quickly. Oh, thank you. Very swift. It was because there was a swift man on the guitar. So you may grab a seat or sit down in it, whichever one you prefer. If you just want to stand, sit there and hold it, then you can do that. I won't stop you. Actually, if you want to stay here for a little bit, that'd be wonderful. Doesn't Jessica look great with her cool hat on? Has anyone else noticed that she's got a knitted hat on? Did you knit that yourself? Did your mother knit that for you? I was going to say, because I'd be mightily impressed if your mother could knit hats like that. If you know a nana or a lady that can knit a hat like that, then make sure you give her a hug and just tell her that she's awesome next time you see her, on behalf of all the people like Jessica who wear knitted hats. So before I get into my message tonight, we're going to have a short message, because as you heard, we're celebrating tonight the birthday of Pastor Dave, the 50th birthday of Pastor Dave. That was earlier this week. So we're going to have a bit of a party at the back and spend some time just celebrating the last 50 years of Dave's existence and celebrating just being able to spend some time together with one another. But before I get into my message for tonight I want to talk about fathers in the faith and having trainers and having mentors, and I don't really have a title for it, but it's just a bit of a collection of thoughts. But I just want to encourage a few people here before we got into the message. Firstly, I want to encourage you with, who was here last Sunday night? A few people managed to make it last night. I shared this during the middle of my sermon this morning. I was preaching this morning. But I shared how last Sunday we were talking about having a supernatural every day rather than just spiritual Sundays. And I was really encouraged by Peter Swift. He sent me some notes from a guy named Smith Wigglesworth, and it really inspired and stirred up some faith in me. And during the week on Friday, I had the privilege to run into someone. I say privilege to run into someone who had this terrible cold and terrible flu, but she had to perform in the evening, and she was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to perform tonight. I can't talk properly. My throat's so sore. And me and this other person were just like, let's pray. So we prayed for this lady. And she just felt the power of God fall on her, touch her, fill her. And all of a sudden, all this pain that had been stopping her from being able to speak just completely disappeared in Jesus' name. And that's worthy of giving God praise for things like that. But I'm saying it not to be like, hey, look how good I am. I'm saying it to say, hey, look, each and every single one of us can be a conduit of God's power. If we're ready and we're aware, and if we choose to step out in faith and start praying and believing for these things. So let me encourage you, let's not just have here in the next 25 minutes as we're maxing out together a spiritual experience. I want to encourage you, let's have supernatural every days, not the spiritual Sundays. So with that in mind, we've a bit of faith stirred up here in the house tonight. Is there anyone that actually has any sickness in their body? Because I would love to reach out and pray for you. Who's got some sickness? Put your hand up. If you want to receive a healing tonight, put your hand out. All right. So people that have just lifted their hands, if you are next to them or around them, let me encourage you, just place your hand on them. The Bible talks about in the book of James to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you see anyone that's got sickness, that's lifting up their hand to say they've got sickness, we're gonna reach out our hands and collectively pray for these people. No other name but the name of Jesus. So for each and every single person that's lifted their hand asking for a healing, we just speak the name of Jesus over their lives. Jesus, bring healing. Jesus, the name above every name, the name that sickness has to bow its knee. Jesus, we ask that you would bring healing. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. We thank you that you bring healing into the lives of people so there can be a platform where they can then speak of the goodness of God to people in their world that are far from you, God. So we pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that you would bring healing, 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 healing. Respond to their faith, God. Bring healing to their bodies. Any sickness, any pain would subside in Jesus' name, that instead they would be fully, fully healed, fully whole in Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 And I just want to encourage just a couple of people, just a couple of words. First one was Peter, the Apostle Peter. Actually, I'm not prophetically saying. Oh, maybe, you know, you've got an apostolic gift. I'm not sure. Maybe Dave will have to decide that one. But Peter, I just really felt the word amplified was that God was giving me that to share with you. And I think in a couple of ways, amplified that, you know, you love studying the Word of God. Let me encourage you just to continue to get into the amplified version and then go even further amplified like you like to, and looking at the Hebrew and the Greek and all that sort of stuff. Because God's going to speak to you, and then more than to speak to you, He wants to speak it through you. So He's going to amplify what he's resonating in you to actually to people, as He already is through your books and stuff across the world, but He's going to amplify it. So just allow Him to speak to you, but then just be faithful in then speaking it through you, that it's not just coming to you, but it's going through you. So let me just encourage you with that, Peter. You're doing an incredible, incredible job. Who was the other person I wanted to encourage? It was actually Melvin. This guy, back from being away international, but I just feel like God's taking you from glory to glory, man. That he's seen your faithfulness in different seasons. He's seen your faithfulness in different situations and circumstances. But he's not just keeping you where you're at and you haven't reached the end yet. He's going to take you from glory to glory. And I just want to encourage you just to continue to be. There's this story in the Bible where one of the prophets talks to, I've had a mental blank, but about being like clay, and just encourage you just to stay malleable. Don't allow any offense or anything to start to harden you, but just allow God just to continue to mold you and shape you into the person that He's calling you to be. Actually, let's just pray for Melvin in this moment. God, we just thank you for Melvin. We thank you for this mighty man of God. We thank you for the call of God that is on his life. And we pray in Jesus' mighty name that anything that might cause him to feel hardened of heart, whether it's disappointment, despair, bitterness, hurt, whatever, God, that those things that we uproot it, we take it captive, and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. And we declare right now, Holy Spirit, that you would have just the freedom to have all authority over his life. We thank you that you can do immeasurably more according to your power at work within us, God. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to guide him and lead him, be in him and work through him for the glory of God. We thank you for the international people that are far from Christ that are going to come to Christ through his ministry at OCF. We thank you for people far from Christ that are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ at university, just for him being in those classes, Lord. We thank you that you're going to move mightily in him and through him over these coming weeks and these coming months, Lord. And we just ask that you'd keep him, just keep his heart humble, that his security wouldn't be found in his positions or his titles, but be continually found in you. Thank you for Melvin, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the final person I want to encourage, Isaac, do you know you're a leader? Yeah. Yeah, I just want to encourage you that what you do sets an example for others, whether you know it or not. Obviously, you're the oldest of the Edgerton clan of all the young ones, but the way you, I just really feel God's telling me that if you press more into God's presence and focus less on the opinion of people around you, that he's going to unlock some supernatural things in you and through you. But he's not going to force it upon you, because God's not like that. He's just giving you an opportunity. And you can choose to be either like, I don't want it. But then if you settle for that, let me tell you, it's like settling for chicken feed when you could have like, I don't know, what's a good, something good. Something a lot better. Chicken feed, doesn't it? Reject shop. It's like settling for reject shop when you can get like the good quality stuff at JB Hi-Fi. So let me encourage you, man, that God has more for you. And the way that you press in, I believe that your brothers and sisters and other people in your world that you don't even know are going to press in more because you're pressing in more. So let's just pray for Isaac, this mighty legend. God, we just thank you for this young, mighty legend of faith. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name, in his cadets, in youth, in church, wherever he finds himself in school, that you would help him operate in a place of humility, in a place where he's being led by you. He's not being led by others, but he's continually listening and discerning your voice, listening and discerning your will, that his heart would just be so aware of your promptings, God, that he wouldn't just operate under his own strength, but he would operate by your spirit at work within him. So God, we thank you for Isaac. We thank you for the gifts that are on his life. And we pray that you would help him uncover those and that you would help him use those in powerful ways to help build the kingdom and to bless others in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Jessica, for playing keys. You did a brilliant job up there. Let's thank Jessica for the awesome work she's doing. We're so glad you're back. Hey, are you playing on the recording night that's happening in a couple of weeks? Oh, so who's playing? Who's on keys? Joey Morse. Oh, hello. Hello. Wearing cricket gear earlier today and then playing keys on Tuesday in a week and a half. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Who's looking forward to the live album recording happening in like 2 weeks? It's less than 2 weeks, isn't it? Sounds like a week and a half. Incredible. So make sure if you're not aware of it yet, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, we're gathering here to record a bunch of our original songs. Let me encourage you. It's a great opportunity to invite other people to come and hear the sound of our church, to come and be a part of what God's doing here at Energizer. So be praying in the lead up to that. Even be fasting as well. Spend some time just praying and fasting. Now, I'm going to jump into a short message and then we've got some birthday shenanigans. So tonight, as I said, I want to talk about coaching, mentoring. Has anyone seen a movie called Creed? Creed, yeah? Put up your hand if you've seen the movie Creed. Okay, let's keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Now, put up your hand if you've seen Rocky number one. Like join in. Or Rocky number two. Or Rocky number three. Or Rocky number four. Or Rocky number five. Rocky Balboa. And then, see, Creed is the final movie of the Rocky series. Rocky is probably, I was going to say arguably the greatest boxing series ever of movies, but it is the greatest series of boxing. There's no other movies collection like the Rocky Balboa. Rocky Balboa. You know, I can't even do it. We'll get Graham Marlon to do it later. He can do voices really well. But there's no collection of boxing movies quite like it. In the most recent one, this movie called Creed, I'm not a massive boxing fan, but I think all the hype of Conor McGregor and Mayweather and those guys fighting, and just there's been a couple of good movies out recently, one called Southpaw and this other one called Creed, has got me sort of, you know, watching these movies and actually really enjoying them. But in the movie Creed, there's a young man named Adonis Johnson. Adonis Johnson. And his father was actually a boxer that fought Rocky Balboa in the movies. It was a guy named Apollo Creed. Does anyone who's watched those movies, are they aware of who Apollo Creed was? He was like the Superman of the boxing, Muhammad Ali sort of guy in this movie series, an incredible boxer. And what ends up happening is in the movie Creed, he's got a different last name and he doesn't want to take on the name of his father. And he ends up searching out and finding Rocky Balboa to be his trainer because his father's passed away. So he sought out the guy that his father fought to then become his trainer. And the reason why he gets him on his side is because he believes that he can be a better boxer if he has Rocky in his corner. That he can be a better boxer if he has Rocky in his corner. Now, the Bible talks about how living the life of faith and how in the book of Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy and says, I've fought the good fight. And, you know, the reality is life can be a fight sometimes. But my question for you is, who is in your corner? Who is in your corner? So with that thought in mind, how about we pray before we press into God's word. So that way our hearts are prepared to hear what he wants to say to us. God, we just thank you so much that you are here, that you inhabit the praises of your people, God, that there's been breakthroughs right now in Jesus' mighty name for healings in people's lives. We thank you for the prophetic words that were shared. We thank you that people are stepping into a new season with you, Lord God. But we also thank you that we don't have to do it in isolation. Number one, you're with us. You're Emmanuel. But number two, you place us in community so that we can have mentors. We can have people discipling us and leading us. We can have coaches in our corner. So God, I ask in Jesus' mighty name, you would help us identify the people that we need in our corner so that we can win the battles that we're going to come up against. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So in the Bible, we read stories of people that had like mentor relationships. If you look in the Bible, if you go to the back in your concordance section or if you jump online on the Bible Gateway and you type in the word mentor, you'll actually be surprised. You can't find the word mentor in the Word of God. It's not actually there. Or what's the person under it? Mentee? Minty. The Minty. Menti. Sorry, that's the New Zealand accent. The Mentee or the Mentor? No, I can't do it. I'll have to get Simon to do it later. But you can't find the word mentor in the Bible. But the reality is, it is distinctly there. That even though it might not be said, it's a bit like the Trinity. Even though the word Trinity might not be there, we distinctly can see that that our God's a Trinitarian God. And in the same way, you might not find the word he was a mentor in the Bible, but you can distinctly see it in the way that Paul discipled Timothy, in the way that Elijah discipled Elisha, in the way that Moses discipled Joshua, in the way that Jethro discipled Moses, in the way that Saul and Paul, or Paul, discipled Barnabas, in the way that Elizabeth had Mary, Naomi, Ruth. Like we see all these relationships in the Bible that are like mentor relationships. And I'm bringing up all these people because even though you might not find the word mentor or to coach in the Bible, it's actually a biblical principle. It's something that we see outworked through the actions of different people in the Bible. And in the same way, Adonis Creed or Adonis Johnson needed Rocky to help him win the fights that he was going to come up against. I honestly believe that collectively we need people in our corner to help us win the fights that we're going to come up against in life. You can't win every battle that you're going to come up against on your own, because you're not designed for isolation. In our strength programs that we run at Clarence High School, we talk about how no man's an island. You're not meant to be living life in isolation. You're meant to be living it in community. We always use the example of if you had, you know, it's the footy finals at the moment, and probably the best player in the AFL at the moment is either Patrick Dangerfield or Dustin Martin. Dustin Martin's probably going to win the Brownlow, but Dangerfield is probably the most influential player in the game at the moment. But the reality is, if either one of those players came up against the opposition team by themselves, if Dustin Martin decided, I'm going to take on Richmond next week in the AFL by myself, you know, Trent Cotchin, Jack Rewell, everyone else, you can sit down. We don't need you this week. I'm going to don't argue every single player that we're going to come up against, and I'm going to win the game just by me against GWS. Brian Cameron's shaking his head furiously at the back. He knows that that wouldn't happen. The reality is GWS would destroy them. There'd be a big, big sound in the west of the town. And in the same way, if Geelong, if Patrick Dangerfield next week was like, you know what? I used to play against the Adelaide, I used to play with the Adelaide players, but this week I'm going to do it all myself. I don't need the rest of the team. I'm just going to play me against Adelaide. He would get annihilated. It would be insane. It would be the worst TV program ever. Everyone would leave. You are not made for isolation. The battles that you're going to come up against, you're not designed to do it by yourself. You're actually designed to do it in community, in a team. But then also recognizing the importance of having a coach, having a mentor, having someone in your corner. You know, one of the great things about AFL games is the fact that you have the game being played, but then the coach and the coaches are sitting high above, watching on from above, recognizing what's going on, recognizing what the enemy is strategically trying to do to win the game, discerning what it is, and then working out ways to combat that and to come against it in such a way that they can achieve the victory. In the same way, firstly, our God, you know, even though he's Emmanuel, he's God with us, he's right in the battle there with us. At the same time, here's this incredible view where he can look into the situation from above and discern different things going on. So it's a good thing, firstly, to seek God's wisdom, God's direction on different battles that you're coming up against. But then also recognize that God places leaders in our lives. He places mentors. He places people of influence in our lives to assist us in discerning the direction and how to get through different circumstances and battles. So who do you have in your life that is above looking in, that you allow, like those AFL players, to go, okay, you reckon we should do this? All right, we'll give that a crack. You know, there's actually no value in a mentor or a coach if you listen to their advice. They're looking at it from an angle where they can see what's going to happen next, if they can see the different things that are going on, if your heart's too hardened to actually hear what they have to say. We need to make sure that our hearts are in a place where that we're, like we were praying for Melvin before, malleable, pliable, ready to be taught, ready to be led. It says this in 2 Timothy 4:6-8. As for me, my life has been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race and I've remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. You see, Adonis needed Rocky. Timothy needed Paul. And each and every single one of us, we need fathers in the faith. We need mentors. We need coaches to help us reach our full potential in Christ. So, this week, Pastor Dave turned 50. Yeah, come on, that's a pretty good milestone. And in front of everyone, I just want to say thank you so much for being a father in the faith to me, for mentoring me through good seasons and mentoring me through challenging seasons, both for me personally and different seasons that you've been through that have been challenging, that you've stayed steadfast in it all and through it all. I wouldn't be the leader that I am today without your influence. I wouldn't be the man of God that I would be that I am today without your loving, father-like faith and just showing a genuine interest into my life. And I'm just so grateful for it. So thank you, Dave. Sorry. But the reality is, each of us need relationships with that in our life. Dave cannot pastor everyone to the same level that he pastors me and a couple of other key people in our church. But we need to find people that we can allow to speak into our lives at that same level. Each and every single one of us need that to fulfill the call of Christ that is on our lives, to be able to navigate the trials and the tribulations that we're going to go through. Life isn't easy. Jesus said that. He said, there will be trials, but take heart, for I've overcome. We're fighting. I love what Dave shared a couple of years ago. We fight from victory, not for victory. But sometimes we need people that are actually standing further away that can see the avenue for our breakthrough to help guide us into that victory. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. Let me encourage you, the people that speak the good news to you, those people more mature in the faith that are not doing it for any other reason but because they have the best interest in their heart for you, allow those people to help shepherd, to guide, to lead you. So my two thoughts today and well, my two little points are, number one, who are you leading? And number two, who are you allowing to lead you? Because in the same way that we're called to make disciples, I honestly believe we're also then called to be a follower of someone else. And first and foremost, above anyone or everyone else, we need to follow Jesus. Like that, it all, should almost go without saying, but I'm saying it anyway. You need to make sure that you don't outsource your relationship with God to your leader. You need to make sure you continue to seek Him in that quiet place, to be hungry, to be so passionate for God that fuels your faith. But at the same time, recognizing the value of allowing people to come in and help give us direction, allowing people to come and help shape and speak and build into our lives. You know, upon successfully leading the Israelites crossing the Jordan, it says this in Joshua 4:14, the day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. You know, Moses had sowed in time and time and time with Joshua. But then a time came where Moses couldn't go where they were going to go. And Joshua stepped up to the plate. But it was because of all the faithful discipleship, all the faithful mentoring, all the faithful coaching, all the relationship that he had established with Joshua, that it helped Joshua be the man of God that God needed for that hour to help see the Israelites cross the Jordan. You know, that relationship that you have with that leader or that mentor, you might not necessarily see the why behind the what in this season, but when they're gone, and when you're called, when God all of a sudden makes you have to step up to the plate in a certain area of life, you'll recognize the why behind the what. You'll recognize why they encouraged you to stay steadfast, to hold to integrity, to live a life and to lead this way. Because then when that day comes, you'll know what to do. Because you will have known the heart of a leader that already did that. So I want to encourage each and every single one of us, if you don't feel like you have that sort of relationship in place in your life currently, seek it out. I remember when I first came to faith in Jesus about 10 years ago, I actually used to catch up with a legend of the faith. He's still a legend of the faith, a guy named Joe King. And I sought him out. I just felt like there was a bit of a, I could just relate to Joe. And for anyone that knows Joe, you could probably then pick up why I might relate to him. He's a bit of a larrikin at times, and I have a bit of a weird sense of humor. So I sought him out because he was the youth pastor of our church at that time. Number two, he was just, I just always felt so encouraged whenever I spent time with him. But I sought out that relationship. I allowed him to speak into my life. You know, seasons changed and he then started doing extra work and sort of stuff. And we couldn't catch up to the same level anymore. So I sought out other relationships to help continue to grow, to continue to build, to continue to see me change and transform into the person that Christ had called me to be. And like I said, for me, one of the biggest people has been Dave over the past about 6 years or 7 years, which has been such an honor and blessing for my life. And I want to say this to you young guys over there, that in the same way that Dave has been so faithful in walking that journey of faith with me, know that myself and your youth leaders, we want to walk that same journey with you. You don't have to figure it all out on yourself, all out yourself in an instant. You can just walk the journey one step at a time. And when you trip over, you can know that you're going to have loving people that are going to walk and help pick you back up again, support you through the good times and through the bad times. You don't have to figure it all out overnight, but allow people to be able to speak into your life and encourage you. You know, we can see the genuine sincerity of Paul's heart to Timothy in his words that he had for Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:2, he says, "My true child in the faith." You know, Paul was taking on a parenting role for Timothy. It was one of the foremost aspects of this Christian mentoring. this relationship that he had formed with Timothy. He was a spiritual father to Timothy. It's actually crazy. You read in the book of Acts, in Acts 16, 1 to 3, how Timothy even allowed Paul, and don't worry guys, we're not going to do this. He even allowed Paul to circumcise him. Yeah, you guys can be thankful that we're not going to do that here. Because you read in other passages of scripture, like in, in Galatians 5:12, it talks about how some Jewish leaders are like, hey, everyone should get circumcised. And everyone's like, whoa, come on, man. That's a bit full on. I don't know if I want to go there. But the incredible thing is in the book of Acts, Timothy actually allows Paul to circumcise him because he knows that he's called to witness to Jewish people. So he actually does something. He cuts off a part of himself. Sorry, he allows Paul to cut part of himself off so that he can actually reach more people for Christ. You know, in the same way, not young people, but people in general, leaders at times might require something of you that might hurt. Might be a snip here and... It might be a painful experience. They might pull you up and say, hey, you can't do that anymore. Or for this season, we're not going to allow you to do this because of X, Y, Z. But that's not because they want to cause pain on your life. It's because they're trying to help prepare you and propel you into the call of God on your life. So don't shy away from discipline. Recognize that if you're being pulled up and something's being addressed, it's not because you're a bad person or because that leader hates you. On the contrary, it's because they love you. And they recognize what's, that, like I said, they're the coach. They're at the higher angle. They can see what's going to be best for you. So allow those people to be there for that. Paul was a teacher. He was leading. He was encouraging. He was charging and sending him. Paul became so personally invested in Timothy's faith and his ministry. Allow people to be invested in your ministry. A mentor relationship, kingdom-minded, faithfully followed with an open accountability, the purposes of King Jesus at the center of it all, that can only be a beneficial thing. I want to read to you out of 1 Timothy, and I'm just going to ask the band to come up. Actually, if the band want to come up, you're more than welcome to. If you want to sit for another minute and a half, you're welcome to do that as well, depending on what you want to do. It says this, chapter 1, 18 to 19. It says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. What a passage of scripture. If we bring it all the way back to the start, talking about Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa. It says, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience. You know, these coaches that you might have in your life in different seasons, let me encourage you, what they share to you, call it back to mind. Put it into practice, because the power of it is in the practice of it. It's not in just knowing it, it's in the application of it. So when those battles come, which they will, let me encourage you. Recall in the midst of that fight. You know, when you're actually in the battle in a boxing ring, you can't just be like, oh, wait, we're a minute and a half in. Just hold up, and go back to the coach. You know, you've got to wait to the end of the round before you can get some more feedback. And in the same way, God might put you in some battles at the time. And in the middle of that battle, you might be like, hold up, wait a minute. I quit, I'm out, I'm done. But God hasn't left you if he's silent. He's letting you grow. He's giving you the opportunity to put into practice what he's already taught you. And then once the battle's done, once the dust settles, and you get back on that stool, all hot and sweaty, punched up, blood lip, blood coming out of the eye, he can then wipe you up, clean you up, and say, hey, look, this is what you need to do. Next round, there's another round coming. But we've got this. You're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Going back in there. This is what you need to do. He'll give you the leading. He'll give you the guiding. And that's why it's so valuable to have mentors, to have coaches, people that can help speak that word of wisdom, that word of direction, that word of correction into our lives so that we can fight the good fight well. Who are you discipling? Who's discipling you? Who are you leading and who are you allowing to lead you? I want to encourage each and every single one of us to reflect on that and think about that. I'm just going to finish with these two final passages of Scripture. It says this in Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders who taught you the Word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. In verses 16 and 17, it says this, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them the reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I want to encourage each and every single one of us. When you do find that relationship, that coach, that mentor, that esteemed figure in your life that you allow to speak life, that father figure, that mother figure to speak life into your life, please, I implore you, make it a joy for them. Help them actually enjoy discipling. Help them actually not endure the process, but enjoy the process of discipling you. And how do we do that? It's by keeping a teachable heart, a sweet spirit, a heart that's not easily offended, but a heart that's willing to take correction and direction. And I honestly believe that as we continue to run this race of faith, as we continue to fight this fight that God has for each and every single one of us, that if we allow people like that to be in our corner, then we're only going to be better for it. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to close this service with a song of worship. And as I said at the very, very start, the person that we need most in our corner is King Jesus. He loves you so much. And I want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus, to introduce you to Jesus and have the start of the best days of your life with Him in your corner and in the darkest seasons and in the mountains high. So let me pray. We're going to sing a song of worship. God, thank you so much for each and every single person here. I thank you for the people that aren't here that are leaders to people here. The people that aren't here that are mentors, that are guiding, directing, supporting, strengthening people here, God. I pray you would bless those people. We thank you for them. We honor you for them, God. And God, for people here that might have realized that they're not leading anyone, they're not sowing in that same way to someone else, God, I pray that you'd start stirring up a fire in their hearts to sow into the next generation, to share what they have learned on this journey of faith, to equip someone else to live the life that they're called to live, God. So God, I ask for each and every single one of us, God, that you would help guide us and lead us in this area of faith, to have coaches, to have people in our corner so that we can win, so we can walk in victory, so that we can live the lives that you've called us to live by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jemima.